cloudy with a good chance at rain at times, the high 75. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 65 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron, from inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium. If it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
And good morning, welcome in to the hump day edition, the Wednesday edition of Inside the Locker Room. 205-342-9904 as always is the number. If you want to jump in and gripe this morning, you can be more than welcome to do that. Download the app, the Tide 100.9 app. You got Coach's Show tonight, so you can get that on your smartphone if you don't live in the area and listen to it anywhere you go. You want to email us, do that, wimpandbarry@yahoo.com. Yellowwood Pressure Treated Pine from Great Southern. They've been a great sponsor for us for a number of years. We appreciate those guys. You want to build the five-star backyard, then Yellowwood is your only choice. Find the dealer that is close to you, go to yellowwood.com. And always remember, guys, if it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it. Roman Harper at the bottom of the hour, so good show. Bill Cameron in the second hour, we'll find out what's going on with the Auburn job and the Auburn football team and the mindset going into the Mercer game, but getting ready for a night game against Alabama. So you can stop worrying about where you're ranked, this, that, and the other. You got to beat Auburn. That's what you need to be focusing on, not whining about where that committee ranked you. Good morning, Chase. How are you, sir? Good morning, Dad. How you guys doing this morning?
Doing okay. Last night, Georgia stayed in the top four, which means right now, this is all prognostication. Everything will be added on the final games, of course. But as of right now, as my words I want to say to you, as of right now, Georgia's number four, of course, would get a bye. Alabama dropped down to number 10. As of right now, they would play Oregon. As of right now, if they won that game, they would play Indiana. So they would play Oregon, then they would play Indiana, which would be the number 7 seed. First, the top four teams, Ohio State, Indiana, A&M, and Georgia got the four byes. And so Alabama dropped down to the 6th spot. So we'll see what happens. That's the facts of the matter as it stands today. Those facts can certainly change as we go to the games that have already been mentioned. In basketball last night, this is one thing that was said by one of the coaches, and he's so true. Mark Pope has done a terrible job with his basketball team in Kentucky. They don't play. They don't play defense. They don't do anything. They got beat last night. He said, we're poorly coached. Generally, I don't get on here and say anything about coaches, but he was right about that one. Michigan beat them 83-66, and they are not playing very, very good at all. In other games last night, how about this one? Arkansas and Winthrop played. Arkansas beat them with 5 seconds on the clock or something, and they had a fight. And four people were, I think they had a fight with 15 seconds on the clock. And four of them were ejected from the game. And so and Arkansas beat Winthrop 1 point. A&M won. He beat the Montana, I think it's 5 or 6 points, 86-81, something like that. LSU beat Alcorn and Ole Miss, who I think is going to be pretty good, beat Austin Peay. A&M did win 86-81. I am correct there. So basically, we'll give you occasionally some of the scores. The Duke-Kansas game, Kansas best player is out. they played them really well for the first half. And second half couldn't quite keep up with them. And Duke won that with 78-66. A good win for them. Basically, I think that's about the scores that you really want to hear. I think also, I know also tonight at 8 o'clock, you can get both the Alabama and game that they play against Illinois in Chicago, and then Auburn will play somebody tonight. I forgot who it is. Becky Dearest, no, nobody. So they'll play also at 8 o'clock. They will be on the SEC network, and I forget where Alabama is, but you can find them. Oh, they're on FS1, which is for me is a I forget what it is, but you can find it pretty easy.
219.
And 219. So
well, anyway, Auburn's playing Jackson State tonight.
Yeah, Jackson State. They play Jackson State. So those are the best stories that I can give you. If you want to make some calls, it's a tough day for me. Thank you.
All right. Illinois is a 5.5. Is that 5? Yeah, 3.5. I'm sorry, 3.5. 3.5-point favorite over Alabama tonight. Games, I think it's where the Chicago Bulls play. So it's not on campus, which is in Champaign. This game is in Chicago. So, you know, I hear in the show before you got four here. Guys, listen. If Alabama beats Auburn, they're in the playoff. All right, quit overanalyzing it. If they get to the Atlanta and they lose that, they're in the playoff. All right, now, quit whining about where they ranked them. Alabama's played poorly here lately. Let's just be honest. Now, you talk about Notre Dame. Notre Dame's, I mean, that game day was at Pitt. They mauled Pitt. All right, they've beaten people bad that they're supposed to beat. Alabama is squeaking by. They did not win. So stop whining about where they're picked and focus on Auburn. If you don't beat Auburn, it don't matter. They'll get to where they're supposed to get. So I just don't understand. If they get to Atlanta, I don't care what the committee guy said, Juracek or whatever. If they get to Atlanta, they're in the playoff. All right, stop worrying about that. Stop talking about it. Stop worrying about it. They're in. Dad, anything about what they said last night? I mean, they didn't play well against Florida State. They hadn't played well here lately. So you don't play well. Then you just, winning is good, but if you don't play well, then you lose. Then you get what you get at this point. But at the end of the day, if you beat Auburn, you're in the playoff. You still believe that?
Sure. Yeah. Well, I said you wouldn't have an all-star game or a championship game if the loser was going to be out. Getting to the championship game, there's 16 teams in the league. The last time I looked, only two got the championship game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the 14 are sitting at home. So, just hold on. Beating Auburn is not going to be real easy, but we'll see what happens. If they don't beat Auburn, they're probably
– If they don't beat Auburn, they don't deserve to go. You can't lose to Auburn, who's has their record. You go down there. If you lose to Oklahoma and you lose to Auburn, then you get what you get, and you can be frustrated. And then you can try to figure out every scenario to get them in. They're not getting in if they lose to Auburn. So if they beat Auburn, they're in. Stop listening to people that tell you that they're not. If they beat Auburn and they lose to Texas A&M or whoever, don't even listen to them. They're in. I'm just telling you. If they're not, then I don't know what I'll do, Chase. But anyway, all right, we'll take a break here. We got Philip Holden. I don't want to cut him short. Don't overanalyze this thing. You got to play better. Alabama's not playing well. You focus on that. You got no kicking game. Your running game suspect. And so you made too many penalties, and your turnovers were bad in the last game. Worry about that. Don't worry about these playoffs. Two-minute truck there at 1330 Martin Road East. That's where you go pick up your boxers, your packing supplies, whatever you need to make this a smooth move. Whether it's local, out of town, out of state, no problem. Let the professionals handle it. You give them a call today. It's 205-247-5050. 2 minute truck. Movers who care.
Here's what what's trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good Wednesday morning. The Tuscaloosa City School System is exploring ways to integrate artificial intelligence into classrooms to empower teachers, support families, and engage students. School officials say it's important to prepare students for an ever-changing world. Currently, the district is training staff on student involvement with AI. However, critics worry AI can be misused. Click TuscaloosaThread.com for more West Alabama news, sports, and weather. Don Hartley, Townsquare Media, Tuscaloosa.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Well, we are moving pretty smoothly across the area right now. Now, definitely starting to thicken up in your, of course, usual spots for your rush to work delays. And those usual spots are 69, both north and southbound onto Skyland Boulevard. Also, Skyland at McFarland, that intersection, it's starting to get a...
Match with the candidates you're looking for, making your hiring simple. Visit Indeed.com/credit. Again, that's Indeed.com/credit.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance and is
with all of your CPAP needs, including the new Luna Travel CPAP. Call 339-8013 or stop by MedSouth in the Northbrook Plaza on McFarland Boulevard.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A warm November day. The sky partially sunny. The high today around 80. For tonight, fair with the low at 59. Tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny. The high 81. Friday, cloudy with a good chance of rain at times. The high 75. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 65 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Alabama Crimson Tide lives right here. Tide 100.9.
Pressure treated pine from Great Southern Wood. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you certainly don't want it. Just real quick, Notre Dame's last couple of games, they beat Pitt at Pitt, 37-15. Pitt was still vying for that ACC. They beat Navy, who's not very good, 40-something to 10, 49-10. They beat Boston College on the road, 25-10. Beat Southern Cal. Drilled NC State, Boise State. Crushed Arkansas on the road. So, you know, whatever. Don't worry about all that. Get to the Yellowwood Hotline. What's up, Phillip?
Good morning. You know, and good morning, Coach Simpson. And, you know, being totally objective about it, and I'm an Alabama fan, I think if these two teams played tomorrow, I'd pick Notre Dame based on the way things are going. But the other thing I'd like to say, too, is to the committee, sure, Alabama's rushing game's not been, you know, what Alabama fans think of when they think of Alabama teams that can run the football and run it well. But I will say this, Alabama's got 2,947 yards passing. Notre Dame's got 2,657 yards passing. So if they want to get down in the weeds on statistics, which I don't think they should do, I don't think that's their role right now. Behind closed doors, maybe. But, you know, if they want to go through statistics, there's one right there. So what's better, rushing or passing? But anyway, I think Alabama, if I'm an Alabama football player, I'd be motivated as hell right now. I'd be motivated as hell to go out on a great note these next 2 weeks and massacre the opposition. I don't care that they're playing at Auburn at night. They got to play it sometime that day. But go out there and be motivated and do your job. If you'd have beaten Oklahoma last week, we wouldn't even be having these conversations.
Yeah, I mean, you can – I'm trying to pull up who else on this committee, and for some reason my thing's just spinning. But all right, here, let's see here. Philip, I mean, you can twist these stats around all you want. Just beat Auburn.
That's right.
Just beat Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
You got to figure out, and Dad can help me with this because I don't know what to do. Alabama is going to be tight against Auburn. How are you not going to be tight in this game? That's what you got to focus on. You're going to go in there. You're going to be tight. They're going to be loose. You're going to play not to lose. You're worried about your kicker. You can't run the ball. Auburn's got a good defense. Dad, how do they go down there and not play tight? Because their season is on the line. It's on the line as far as getting to the playoff and all that. That's what you got to focus on. How you not fans, because we got nothing to do with it, really. But we're tight, too, as fans. Dad, how do you go down there and not play tight and go down there and just mash these guys and then it'll take care of itself?
I think you start by throwing the short quick pass. I think against the pass rush, I think where they're very, very good with their defensive line is to throw it quick and to throw the short pass and then try to run the football after that. I think you open them up. You know where they're going to be start the game. They're going to be in a situation somewhat against the long, any kind of pass, but you can certainly get your people open with an easy pass and run it like that for a little bit. Not every down, but I think you give them a shot to look at that first, some of those things first, and then you take over running the football. I think Alabama can beat them. I don't know that the mental part of it is, I think the mental part of it certainly is on Auburn's side, because they think it for the first time. I listen to the Auburn people all the time. For the first time, they've got a chance to wreck Alabama as far as getting somewhere. And I think that's big among the players.
Yeah, it's, you know, and I'm looking at the committee here. You got Mark D'Antonio. I think he knows football. He'd probably look at Alabama and Notre Dame, and he don't even have to see who they beat, this, that, and the other, and knows Notre Dame's a better football team than them right now. Mike Riley, he's a pretty good football guy, isn't he, Dad?
Very good.
Yeah, Chris Ault. You got Trey Dannon. I'm not sure where he's at. Ivan Mizell. There's people on there that know go football. All right, don't listen to a Hunter. He's just flapping his gums. You got to beat Auburn, Phillip.
I didn't hear I know that the Auburn Arkansas athletic director's in charge. Then I didn't really hear what he said.
He basically went back and talking about how Alabama didn't rush the ball very well against Florida State. Couldn't rush the ball. In the previous games, they had to score two touchdowns to beat South Carolina. And he's right that you have to figure out. I mean, I know it's just win. I get that. But
well, he's right, Barry. But he also is in a league with Alabama. And you have to understand that everybody has a mat on for everybody behind the scenes. You have a mat on for everybody behind the scenes. You should. And he has. And I think he said that had Alabama been in another league, I'm not sure.
Yeah, if you have Phillip, you had an SEC guy go out there and praise an SEC team, what would the rest of the country be saying? I'll see you there.
Right.
That's right. So they're setting you up right now. When they got us all talking about it, and you're getting set up, and people are they're like fish. They just bit the bait, and now they're reeling you in.
Yeah, I've said the right things. That's what happens behind the scenes.
Yeah. Go ahead, Phil.
I think that's a great point by Coach Sampson, and a true, valid, historic point. I mean, that's the way it works like that. But I just think that Alabama is got a lot to work on this in the next 2 weeks, and I'm sure as heck they're working on Auburn right now. If they're not, they're crazy. But you know, go out there and be motivated. But another thing I'd like to mention, too, about this game, our history in the Alabama-Auburn game over the last 19 years during the Saban era and the 2 years under the Boer, you know, I just always tell my friends that care to listen to me that a lot of those years Alabama already had when they faced Auburn in several circumstances, they already had a trip to Atlanta already locked up. And I just felt like Alabama just sort of halfway prepared to get ready to play Auburn and was just never really as ready as I thought they would have been. I don't know what you guys think of that, but
well,
it's just
I think one of the big factors for me, and y'all can like him or dislike him, Auburn fans don't care for him. I thought the offensive coordinator, I thought Gus worked really hard to do things to hurt Nick Saban. On the field, and I thought he studied it really hard, and I thought he did a really good job in that particular game on the field. And if you want to use the word running plays, that's running plays or running stuff that hurt Alabama. That's what I thought the whole time that Nick was there.
Right. Well, Barry, good game tonight, Barry, up in Illinois. They've got three guys against Texas Tech. They beat Texas Tech the other night, 81-77. Texas Tech was number 15 at the time. And they had three guys at 11 points each, but they got a guard named Boswell that hit 22. And they've got a guy named Stojovic who scored 23. He's a 6'7 forward. You may remember his dad. I bet you do. His dad is Peja Stojovic.
Yeah,
he played in the NBA.
Yeah, remember him. He's good.
So they got some good players, but I feel pretty good about this game. And I'd feel even better if Keaton Bristow can suit up tonight. He didn't have a boot on yesterday. He practiced.
Yeah. It's going to be a tough game. They play a physical style. Illinois ranked 8 in the country, so they ain't no slouch for sure. So
should be
fun.
No slouch.
Should be fun. Thank you, Phil. All right, back up to the Yellowwood Hotline. What's up, Bryce?
Well, do y'all agree with this CFP thing?
Don't matter.
I mean, they said they're supposed to be going by strength of schedule and quality wins. Who has Notre Dame beat? They ain't beat nobody.
They beat the brakes off of Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh with game day there.
Well, yeah, but that's a quality win right there, Barry. They only have one. I mean, we got
some quality wins, but Alabama's not playing well, Bryce. Don't worry about that. If you beat Auburn, you're in. So you're worrying about the wrong things.
Well, no, I'm talking about seeding. Do you see how they got us playing Oregon, then they got us playing A&M?
No, you got Oregon. You got Oregon, and you play Indiana. If you beat Oregon.
I thought it said the winner of Indiana. And
no, that would be the winner. Miami and Ole Miss would play A&M if it ended today.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well.
So wouldn't you like that? Play Oregon and play Indiana? Everybody says Indiana's no good.
Well, that's fine. And that way we could prove, that this rating that they got. I mean, Notre Dame, I mean, if they had four losses, they'd still try to get the immediate done there. I mean, this thing's pathetic. They need to go back and do it with the computer at the BCS. That way you get true people. Barry, come on.
What is the difference between 9 and 10, Bryce? You're on the road either way.
It's not very.
You're on the road both ways. If you're not 5-8, you're on the road.
But I agree. If we can't go down there and beat that pathetic football team at the Cal College, we don't deserve to go.
That's what it boils down to. So why are you worried about the ranking and all that? If you beat them, you're in.
I just think it needs to go back to a computer because that's how you're going to get a true thing.
How's that true?
Strength of schedule.
Let it all play out and then judge the committee. Don't judge them. And Dad's 100% right. If Hunter Yurick or whatever got up there and bragged on the SEC, everybody'd go crazy. But now just Alabama fans are going crazy. Just let it play out. Go play well against Auburn and look good, and it'll work itself out. That's all you need to worry about.
And your basketball team loses the number one, number two team, and you drop to 11 from 8. Now, why you drop that many spaces? It's Alabama and the world against them. It's the real
stuff. What does that matter, though, at the end of the day? What you're ranked? What does that matter?
Well, it don't right now in basketball. It's just it's just the way to do things. It just kind of gets under my craw.
Yeah. Well, you lost at home to Purdue, who is – I think the best team in the country. All those other teams above Alabama, with the exception of, I lost it there. Let's see. Illinois is ahead of them. All the other teams are undefeated. That's just why. So BYU and Florida are ahead of Alabama. There's only beaten teams ahead of them. So beat Auburn, Bryce. That's all you got to worry about.
Well, if we don't beat Auburn, We don't deserve to go.
There you go. And you'll be saying that if you don't. So thank you.
But exactly. All right. I appreciate you letting me talk. But just that I'm with Philip. I mean, I hope they got some bulletin board material on this stuff.
Yeah, they will.
They ought to be mad.
All right, go to Thomas Ripshack, thomasripshack.com. Get your great lunch over there. Get all the barbecue, the ribs, the pulled pork, the chicken, the fish. You got all the sides over there, the macaroni and cheese. That fried okra is to die for. Great desserts over there as well. Open up at 10:30, so swing by there for lunch or give them a call today. Go to thomasripshack.com for all the information. They do a great job for catering. And tell them that Wimp and Barry sent you. We'll get to Roman Harper. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Well, we are moving pretty smoothly across the area right now. Now, definitely starting to thicken up in your, of course, usual spots for your rush to work delays. And those usual spots are 69, both north and southbound onto Skyland Boulevard. Also, Skyland at McFarland, that intersection, it's starting to get a little...
Essentials for well-qualified customers. Auto pay plus taxes, fees, and $35 device connection charge. Credits and balance due if you pay off earlier. Cancel. Contact us. Finance agreement. 256 gigabytes. $830 required. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
The locker room, Yellowwood pressure treated pine from Great Southern. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it. He's with the SEC Network, ESPN, all over the TV all week. Does an absolutely outstanding job. Former Alabama football player in New Orleans Saint and other places. Roman Harper.
You should say he's a great golfer.
Yeah, he's a great golfer. Roman, how many times do you go to the barber each week to keep that beard looking so tight?
Shave it.
Well, once a week, fellas. Once a week. You know, I know Coach Wimp probably wants to clean shave and look, but that's not in right now.
Yeah.
Coach, I'm just telling
you. So, do you already have it scheduled? Like, you have it scheduled? You know exactly when you're going next week and the next week and the next week? Or do you just, when you get out of the chair, you say, all right, I'll just, what you got next week? Or you just call, or do you just show up?
Yeah, I kind of just show up. I've been with the same barber here in Charlotte for like since 2014 when I first got here from New Orleans. And he's moved all over the place. But he understands as soon as I get there, he's going to try and work me in whenever. He gives me a little bit of flexibility on that because sometimes I go on Wednesdays, sometimes I go on Thursdays, sometimes I go on Fridays or, you know. During this football season, but I go once a week during football.
So you're like dad. You're like dad. You're privileged. Like
some weeks don't go at all.
Yeah, when dad's at the beach, he's got a beach place down there. Everybody's at docks. That line's going out the door, and he just walks around and goes to the front somehow and gets right in. And the people get so embarrassed that they're with him, but they follow him every time, Roman. So they're not that embarrassed. So.
I'm not mad. That's for the line is for the gym pop.
Yeah.
You know, that's not for Coach Wimp, you know?
That's right.
That's VIP. There's no GP around here. So, yeah.
Well, I ain't asked you about your golf game. So here's what I want to ask you. Is that why can't you throw the short pass to get the running game going? Or do you not have enough running people against Auburn, is it what game he's got to win? Why is the running game? Is the running game not good because you don't have good runners, you don't have good plays, you don't have a good offensive court? Why is the running game where everybody's going crazy about? Why is that?
I think it's a combination of a couple things, Coach. Number one, I don't think the running backs have been great this year. You have a big guy in Daniel Hill that's kind of been like a downhill runner. but he's not fast. He's not very explosive. He's just big. Jam Miller, I think he's done a lot of dancing around in the hole so far this year, and it hasn't been, you know, the lack of explosiveness combined with the right vision and seeing it with this run game, which is, you know, they're running a lot of zone run schemes. So that means all the guys have to be in alignment, all of the O linemen. It's like elephants on parade. And so if there's a disconnect in any way or penetration, it totally kills it. And
let
so
let me say this to you while I think about it. Let me just say this. Why couldn't you? I'm not saying the right words, but I saw somebody. Why couldn't your quarterback fake the ball to you? Use your runners to either give it to them or fake it to them and pass it out of that. Use your running fake. Give the ball some to your runners, not give it some. Use the runners more. Couldn't you do it like that?
As a decoy.
So
I'm understanding that. You know, they do it so very random and often. They don't do it a lot with Ty Simpson, even though he has the ability to go get you 7-8 yards.
Yeah.
They don't really ask him to do it. That's why it's always open when he does. And so I think they will have to continue to evolve and adjust. I thought Oklahoma did a great job. You got to give Oklahoma some credit here. When Alabama would go to these empty formations, Oklahoma said, okay, I'm not going to cover guys. I'm just going to attack you and attack you dead smack in the middle of your offensive line in the A gaps, where a lot of teams try and bring pressure from outside. Oklahoma said, no, we're going to just flood the middle of it, of the zone, and go get them. And it put pressure on Ty. And ultimately, let's be honest here. Everybody wants to knock the run game of Alabama versus Oklahoma. That was the best run game they've had in the last 3 weeks. All right? I saw Daniel Hill go for like 20-plus yards on a run. I haven't seen Alabama have a 20-plus yard run since the beginning of the year. So I have no – like, that's a – to me, I think is a cop-out. I think it's – to me, it's not the reason why they lost the game. They lost the game because you turned the football over three times, all set them Oklahoma up in all scoring positions where they have a kicker named Tate Sandell that comes in his hoochie daddy pants and makes kicks.
Mm-hmm.
Alabama's kicker does not make a kick. And ultimately, you lose the game because they out-executed you. They had three turnovers, takeaways. You had none. When Alabama's defense, who everybody's going to say how great Alabama's defense was, I disagree with that. I totally disagree with that. Alabama's defense played well. They played really well. But it wasn't good enough to win the game. Justin Jefferson dropped an interception. That would have been 7 points. When Alabama just scored 7 points to make the game 7-10, if he catches that interception, runs it back, it's 14-10. Crowd's going crazy early in the second quarter. Totally different game. So you had your plays and opportunities, Alabama. You didn't make yours. Oklahoma made theirs. So as much as Oklahoma earned that win, I say Alabama earned that loss by the way that they played and the things that they did. I don't blame Kalen DeBoer. I think he did fine. The players have to stand up and take this one dead square on the chest because the players dropped the ball on this one. It had nothing to do with the coaches. I think the coaches coached well enough. Maybe offensively, they probably look back and say, ooh, I wish I could have did this. Maybe I'll protect it a little bit differently here. But ultimately, Oklahoma coming off a bye week, they're going to throw things at you that you're not ready to see or have seen. And so ultimately, coaches adjust, and players got to go out there and make the plays. The players own this loss. And so hopefully they have the ability to back it up in a couple weeks, the next couple weeks, and get into the playoffs.
Yeah, I didn't have a problem with them ranking Notre Dame ahead of Alabama, to be honest with you. If Alabama beats Auburn, Roman, they're in the playoff. I don't care what happens in Atlanta. You beat Auburn, you're in the playoff. Everybody's talking about all these quality wins. If you look at, is LSU really a quality win? Is Missouri really a quality? I mean, they quality wins. You got the Georgia win in your pocket. You beat Auburn, you're in. Did you have a problem with them ranking them 10? Everybody says I'm Bama hater because Notre Dame's crushing people right now, Roman.
Yeah, I don't mind about that. Ultimately, all these teams control their own destiny outside of Miami. Because if you win, you're in. Exactly what you said. Just keep winning and you're going to be just fine. And, I don't know about the SEC championship game for Alabama. Even though it's weird because they have two losses, but only one loss in the SEC. So they could actually still get into the SEC championship game.
If they beat Auburn, they're in. They're in.
Yeah. It's still kind of weird, even though it doesn't feel like that. But, you know, I think Notre Dame deserved that. I mean, Notre Dame's playing really well. Like I said, all these teams control their own destiny. As long as they win, they're in. Except for Miami, who, for some weird reason, I don't know if they're going to make it to the ACC championship game.
Yeah, so I got a guy tweeting it there. John Roman Harper said the same thing I said, so I guess he's a hater also. Roman, I need you to help me with this. If you're Alabama's coaching staff, how do you not go play tight against Auburn? I think they're going to be tight. I think Auburn's going to be loose. Auburn's got a good defense. They got some dynamic receivers over there. They got nothing to lose, and Alabama is going to be tight. The kicker, they don't have any trust in him. They don't think they can run the ball. How do you keep from being tight in this game?
That's a hard question to really answer. I think, you know, I listened to Kirby Smart say something on our show, SEC Nation, this past weekend. And sorry if you can hear my son bouncing the ball this morning. You're great.
Is he working on his left?
No, this is a bouncy ball. It's not even like a real ball. No, I don't know. He's five.
You're great. Go ahead.
Getting after it.
You're great.
So I heard Kirby say something, and I really, really appreciated this because it's looking into the mindset of young people and young athletes nowadays. And so he said, you know, talking about anxiety when you put so much on this game and talk about how big it is and this, that, and the other, how like it can really start to overwhelm players. And he said where he tries to make sure he points his players is to be thankful and happy that you actually get to play in these games. He said, when I was at Georgia, he said, we didn't have top five, top 10 matchups here to Athens at home. I would tell Alabama, how often do you get to go into Jordan-Hare on the road and have an opportunity to clinch not only SEC championship, but a playoff opportunity?
Yeah.
Be grateful. When you're in a place of gratitude and gratefulness, you're not anxious. You're excited. So switch the mindset.
Yeah.
The mindset has to be how grateful I am, how much of an opportunity it is. And so that part of it, and then you get rid of the anxiety. And now you're just going out there and playing. And just playing the game that you love to play, that you've been playing since you were a little kid in your backyard. So, like, I love what Kirby said. And right now, I would take anything from Kirby Smart because he's the best coach in college football right now.
I loved what he said when they talked about players transferring because of how physical his practices and all are. He said, we try to schedule them. We try to schedule them if we can. We're going to beat those guys. I thought that was a great answer, Roman.
It is. It was. I mean, Kirby's in a dark place right now, dude, and he's in, like, you know, dark mode, and I'm all about Kirby Smart right now. Dude's on one.
Is Lane Kiffin playing everybody right now with all this mess?
Well, I don't know if he's playing me because I still think he stays.
I do too. Who sends your ex-wife to check out the place? That don't even make sense.
Well, not only that, but his ex-wife is from Gainesville and went to Florida. So it's a lot of smoke and mirrors out there. So is she going to see family or is she like checking out the place? I don't know. Why would she need to check out a place she went to school at?
Yeah.
And still has family there. So is that really what it is, or is that just good to make noise?
There's some people there was some guy yesterday saying that Nick Saban is telling Lane if he leaves that he needs to go to LSU is where he should go. And Alabama people are mad because Alabama pays Nick Saban. He shouldn't be helping LSU with who to hire. And he gave him two other names that they can't hire Lane Kiffin. People are crazy, Roman. You think these guys don't know who the good coaches are? Do you think they have to rely on Nick Saban to find a coach? I don't know.
I don't know why, like, we think that Lane Kiffin would actually go to Nick Saban and ask him why or, you know, what that part of it is. Like, Lane's a grown man.
Yeah.
Like, I think Lane's going to make decisions for Lane. He's not going to make decisions based upon what Nick Saban tells him. Or he would have ran the ball more down the stretch and listened to Nick when he was actually the head coach. And so if Lane didn't listen to him then, why is Lane listening to him now? I just don't understand that. I think that's a lot of more exactly what you said. It's a lot of fluff. a lot of stuff that people just want to be the, it doesn't matter about being correct now in current news. It's just about being the first. So if I can say the first thing, it doesn't matter if it's true or not. And I think that's, this is what a lot of this is.
Yeah. Do you think going to, sending your family to LSU and Florida, is that going to help your NIL money at Ole Miss and help get your program more? Absolutely. So that's why you do it. You go there and they start figuring out we got to match whatever. And so he ends up better in his situation at Ole Miss just by that plane landing in Baton Rouge in Florida, right?
1,000%. I would actually push back and say, do we even know Lane was in the plane? Like, what plane was this? Like, how do you know this is Lane Kiffin's plane or whatever is going on? That's my only thing, is that how do people even know? I don't have any video evidence of anything.
I think Jimmy Sexton's leaking it.
Yeah, okay, see? That's what I'm saying. If Jimmy Sexton leaks it, why? Because then it's going to get Jimmy Sexton more money. And it's going to only raise Lane Kiffin's money. So, like, that's what I'm saying. I think it's a lot of stuff going on. And until Lane answers these questions, which he's not going to, then we truly don't know. And I just don't put a lot into anything that I hear because nothing has changed on the ground.
Yeah, that.
I don't really have anything else. I appreciate him being on. It's good stuff.
Broman, does if Alabama wins against Auburn, but they don't win in the SEC championship game, they're in. But my question is, you got to get 5 through 8. That's where you got to land. You don't have to, but to get that home game there. If you lose in the SEC championship, can you beat 8, or are you going to be 9 through 11 right there?
No, you'll be 9 through 11. It's part of it. You'll have to go on the road and earn it the hard way. But, you know, you put yourself in that position when you lost to Oklahoma.
Yeah.
So, you know, and you didn't handle your business at home, so you don't get the home game in the playoffs. Like, and I'm fine with that. Because ultimately, all you want is a chance to compete and get in. And you're going to have that chance if you beat Auburn. But you got to beat Auburn first. And Alabama has to continue to find ways to handle their own business. And it's been interesting to see this team be explosive at times offensively and then now really hit a stretch where they're not playing well offensively. Defensively, they're playing so much better. But like I said before, nobody cares if you don't win the game. Nobody cares. And nobody's going to ever feel bad for Alabama. So you got to get over that part of it too. And it's just, I want to see this team continue to grow and do well. But the guy that you're entrusting to be a superstar or to play well has to play well week in and week out. And that's where I feel like they're missing the boat.
All right, this is a stir the pot question. Do you see Kalen DeBoer's buyout's only $4 million if he went somewhere else? Do you see him? Would you be shocked if he left?
I would be shocked if he left.
You would or wouldn't?
Shocked would be the word, because where are you going? No, yeah, but at that point, you literally go against everything you just said you wanted to do, which was, you know what, I accept the challenge of replacing Nick Saban. And then you run from it 2 years later, because they're not firing him. You run from it. So I don't know what that says. I think Kalen's better than that. I don't think that's a thing. And so I think he's excited about this opportunity, this challenge. And I think he has responded by his actions on the field. And I think the players are responding better this year. But they got to be able to handle adversity. And what happened? You know, like, adverse situations happen in every season for every team outside of maybe Ohio State, who hadn't played nobody. And then all of a sudden, how do you respond?
Did you think that last drive, were they playing for a field goal there? And if they were, they know something we don't. I wasn't real confident with the kicker. I'm not trying to be ugly, but I don't know if I'd have played for a field goal. Did it look like they were going to run the timeout, play for a field goal, because they knew if Oklahoma got the ball, whatever you said about that kicker, he was going to make his kick. Boy, having a good kicker, That takes a lot of pressure off the offense coordinator, doesn't it, Roman?
Well, it's so different because Oklahoma's kicker is a weapon. It's different. He's not just a kicker. He's a weapon. They use him as a weapon. Like, the moment we get across the 50-yard line, we feel good about our situation. We're not worried about it. That was the big difference. It wasn't all these things we're going to say about this past weekend's game. It came down to, like, three or four things. And right now, that's what I really appreciate about the SEC as much as I do, is how close it is to the NFL, where three or four mistakes in a game cost you. And the game, you're going to look at statistics, and you're like, man, we should have won that game. And then you look at the stats that matter, the takeaway turnovers, time of possession, who won the hidden yardage, right? The penalties and the mental mistakes. And those are the teams, if you handle those situations, the ones that win games. And that's what Oklahoma did. That's how they beat Tennessee on the road.
All right.
And then you allowed Alabama, you allowed them to do the same thing to you if you're Alabama, knowing that that was the only path that they had to victory, and you allowed them to do it.
All right, I had a guy text me, want me to ask you this.
Okay.
LSU whiffs on Kiffin. They hire Lincoln. The LSU whiffs on hiring Kiffin. They don't get him.
Uh-huh.
They hire Lincoln Riley. Supposedly the Southern Cal AD hired DeBoer at Washington. He's a West Coast guy. Would he leave Alabama for USC?
DeBoer?
Yeah.
That sounds like a big downgrade.
Yeah, but you don't have to fight all these SEC teams all the time. Yeah. But does his staff and all like living over here on – I mean, does his coordinator
I think they've done a hell of a job of recruiting in this era, for Alabama. Like, I think they've done an excellent job. But, you know, I don't want to knock all that. I just think everybody just needs to focus on, like, football. I don't think DeBoer's looking over his shoulder.
I don't either.
I don't think DeBoer.
Turn the pot.
But this is. It's funny how you guys fans, they really, like, are they scared to say they don't want to fire him anymore? Now they want him to leave? Like, I don't understand.
Yeah.
Where all this is going, you know? It's like, I just don't understand it. And I'm sure it's coming from a place of, you know, they just don't know, a place of scared and scarcity, where it's just not a lot of options out there as far as great coaches. And so... I'm looking forward to it, but I think DeBoer and those guys got to finish out strong. And I'm actually more confident about the Auburn game for Alabama than if Alabama had beaten Oklahoma and then, you know, they'd already clinched. And then it's kind of just, what are you playing the game for? That, to me, is a terrible situation. So actually having some things to play for, actually, it should mean a little bit more. And guys should be hyper-focused. And like I said earlier, it should be a place of appreciation.
Yeah. For Alabama's future, do they need Ty Simpson to go pro so Keelan Russell will run the show next year and not transfer?
No, I think Ty Simpson needs to come back to school.
Really?
I do think so. I mean, has he been good? Yes. I mean, is he a starting quarterback in the NFL right now? I don't know if that happens. Would he get drafted? Sure. But, like, what do you want to be? Like, do you want to have a career, or do you want to have your guy that gets your name called? And then now you go sit the bench and bounce all around. Like, it's so hard to play quarterback in the NFL level. And Ty hasn't even been perfect.
How do you hold on to Keelan Russell then?
I mean, the same way you show him, hey, Ty Simpson just sat for 3-4 years. And now he is about to be the one of the top quarterbacks in all of the country. You show him that because you came here to play for Alabama and the system.
Yeah, but and Roman, so, Ty comes from a coaching family. His dad's a college coach. He said, give him the right stuff. You know the people around these guys that hadn't been in the coaching. They're probably not telling him that.
Yeah, and I can't say Keelan Russell has not been around that.
Yeah, right? I don't know either.
Yeah, he was also the same kid that was committed to SMU. So it's not like he's been the highest recruited guy up until it happened, you know?
Yeah.
And so if you can see yourself being successful somewhere, still, then you stay. And I don't understand why all of a sudden now you're leaving because Ty stays. You're going to get plenty of playing time. All right. Next year, you're going to be the second guy, maybe, unless Mock stays too. And so, and you still got, you're still third on the depth chart right now. So you still have room to grow and work right now. And so, you know, we're so caught up in trying to keep our next girlfriend. We need to continue to love on the one we have and then understand that you don't win by promoting people that haven't earned it. Because ultimately the guys in your locker room see that and you lose out on them. And so I just don't believe in that. And I know everybody talks about it and yes, it happens, but how often do those guys leave that you're trying to promote and say, oh, we need to hang on to them. And all of a sudden they leave and they go be somewhere else and they're even better than there. That doesn't happen a lot.
Yeah. Sounds good. Where are you at this weekend, Roman?
We're going to Nashville. We got Kentucky at Vandy. Looking forward to it. Vandy still trying to find a way in the playoffs. But they need madness. And it'll be a good chance for us to at least go see Vanderbilt.
Yep, you're the best. Have safe travels.
Thanks, guys. Thank you.
Bye. Thank you. There's Roman Harper. Wow, good stuff. All right, we'll take this top of the hour break. No Justin today, Chase. He'll be back with us tomorrow. We'll get Bill Cameron at 8:15. Love to have your phone calls, though, 205-342-9904. I want to thank Yellowwood pressure-treated pine from Great Southern. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
Cincinnati Bengals star wide receiver Ja'Marr Chase is out this weekend. His one-game suspension was upheld. Texans quarterback C.J. Stroud, with a concussion, will miss a third straight game this Thursday against the Bills. In the new college football playoff rankings, the top three stayed the same, led by number one Ohio State. Georgia's up to number four. Oklahoma's now number eight. Alabama, number 10. To college basketball, there was a doubleheader at Madison Square Garden, and Michigan State beat Kentucky in a top 20 matchup, 83-66. Then number 5 Duke was a winner over Kansas, 78-66. Number 21 Arkansas edged Winthrop, 84-83. In the NBA, the Lakers' Luka Doncic scored 37 points in a win over Utah. LeBron James in his season debut had 11 points, 12 assists. Detroit won its 11th game in a row. U.S. men's soccer won its exhibition against Uruguay, 5-1.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. We do have a crash this morning now on 359 northbound at 35th Street. This is knocking out a lane. Traffic is a little on the heavier side. And then as you move about 43, that is stacking up a lot more for your rush to work delays on the southbound hookup to McFarland.
Just for well-qualified customers, auto pay plus taxes, fees, and $35 device connection charge. Credits and balance due if you pay off earlier. Cancel. Contact us. Finance agreement. 256 gigabytes. $830 required. Visit T-Mobile.com.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson. A father-son duo with decades of coaching experience. Breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron. From inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium. If it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
Tuscaloosa Toyota, go to the website TuscaloosaToyota.com. Now's a great time to get out and shop right there on Skyland Boulevard. You go to the website, you can look at all the new inventory, the pre-owned inventory, schedule service. You're going out of town for Thanksgiving and you want to rent a Toyota, then you could do it right there at the website. Go to TuscaloosaToyota.com, swing by Skyland Boulevard. Tell them that Wimp and Barry sent you. All right, get to the Tuscaloosa Toyota hotline. What's up, Tony?
Good morning, gentlemen. I have a bad signal, so if I lose you, y'all just can move on or whatever. You know, Bryce called in, and although I do not believe it's as big as a deal as he does, but there is precedent to say, Barry, I'm not going to sit here and say for certainty that it, just because we make it means that we're in if we make the SEC championship game. Because, Barry, we have no – we're not going to move in those polls with a win at Auburn. We're just not. Notre Dame has moved up every week they just about played after starting year 0-2. So their best win is USC and Pitt. And I dare say they don't compare with what Alabama's won. So what I'm saying is if we get in that championship game and the narrative's been set, well, we had to score two touchdowns to beat South Carolina. Well, A&M had to score four touchdowns to beat Carolina. So at home. So what I'm trying to say is that if we get down there and slop around and get beat 17 points, I don't know if we make it in.
Yeah, you're in if you get to Atlanta. You're in.
So you don't think that we'll drop two spots if we get beat by A&M badly?
No.
I believe we would.
No.
That's me personally.
They're not going to penalize you. Then you better stop having the SEC championship game if you penalize the team. So you're telling me they're in if they beat Auburn, so they didn't make it, they would be in. But making, they're going to get penalized for making the SEC championship. I'm not buying that.
Well, the reason I say that is, Barry, is because of what happened last year. And if – now, obviously, if you beat A&M, you're in. A&M's in. Georgia's in. The thing that concerns me is they have already set a narrative talking about how the eye test, we're not playing as well as Notre Dame. We don't look as good right now.
You may not jump Notre Dame, but is there really a difference between 9 and 10? You're on the road either way.
No, the reason why I say 10's a bad spot because if we get beat badly – I think we'll drop in the polls. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I don't believe that.
I don't think we stay stagnant at 10. I don't think we stay there if we lose. And I agree with you, Barry. I do believe it's coming to a time outside of making money, because that's what that game's about, money. But if you let that happen, if we lose an SEC team because we get beat, they won't have it anymore. No. That and injuries, of course, what happened to Georgia QB last year.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, hey, about tonight, Barry. I don't know if we beat Illinois. I think they're a good basketball team, and it's the size that bothers me a little bit inside again. I don't know how we could play. Let me ask y'all this: is St. John's a touch overrated, or are they as good as what they were advertised?
Yeah, I don't. Dad, what are your thoughts on St. John's?
Oh, I think you're good. I think they played. I think they played well against Alabama to some degree. But
when you play this many games in basketball, I mean, like the Alabama's guards were dynamic, but they were very average against Purdue at home. You would think you'd have a hard time going to the Garden and playing good. You'd play good at home. So basketball, you play so many games. It's just you just never know.
Yeah, it's too early to tell, Barry.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, guys, y'all have a good day.
Right,
I appreciate you taking my call.
Thank you, Tony.
Bye.
All right, back to the Yellowwood Hotline. What's up, Tom?
Morning, Ben. Good morning, Coach.
How are you, buddy?
Morning.
Excuse me. I'm good. Thanks for asking. I thought the Roman Harper interview was more than outstanding. It was really good and packed with a lot of information. And information that Alabama football team ought to be listening to. It's your damn fault that you lost, you bunch of sheep.
But I
got news for you. If you're going to be sheep, let me tell you about sheep. They followed the damn shepherd all the way to the butcher block.
You're right. Well, I just get tired of hearing the whining. Like, you hadn't played well, so you get what you
That's
get.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't think you ought to be in with two losses.
We talk about the quality wins, and I hope Alabama makes and beats Auburn. But is LSU a quality win?
No.
Yeah, you didn't even barely beat them.
And I think something else, too. That chairman, quit talking about him. He did you a favor coming out telling you were sorry.
Yeah.
He said you're too sorry to be in front of Notre Dame. And you know why you're sorry? It's because of the way you played.
Yeah, I think you got to use that as motivation, not for an opportunity to sit around and get in the corner and suck your thumb and cry.
Yeah, but that could happen here. Yeah. I'm not convinced this bunch has got the moxie to get pissed off and tear somebody up.
Did you like what Roman said about how to not be tight, what he would tell the team?
Yeah, not being tight. The thing I liked the best was that he quoted Kirby Smart, and he said Kirby Smart is the best coach in college football right now. I agree with that.
Yeah.
I agree with that. He's taken what he learned from Coach Saban and moved it up a notch. I like, and the reason I'm saying he moved it up a notch is because of the environment that surrounds college football now. Saying things like, you know what, is my practice too tough and they transfer because that? I want to play that team. I love that.
Yeah, I thought that was a great quote. We try to schedule.
And another question is that Roman quoted was, be thankful that you're going to Auburn to play for a chance in the playoffs. Don't go down there in bad, bad sheets.
Do y'all think what we said about Lane Kiffin's just playing everybody, trying to get a situation better at Ole Miss? You think that's true?
Spot on.
Dad, do you think that's true?
Hey, how many times have we seen this strategy from Jimmy Sexton?
Yeah. All right, Lane, I know we're not going anywhere, I know, but let's at least make your situation better where you have a chance to get more players and get your staff more money and retain your staff. So let's just drop the plane in Baton Rouge into Florida and watch them squirm.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. CIA is buying the fuel for this jet. We'll fly this thing to India if we have to.
Anyway.
I think you're on the money with this. Yeah. I really do.
Could be wrong, but
see y'all.
Who would want to go live in Baton Rouge? Oh,
not me. I'd live there. I tell you, it's a hellhole.
I'd stay in Oxford if I went to Baton Rouge. Sorry, Chase. All right, we'll take the break here. We'll get to Bill Cameron when we get back. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Well, we've got some rush to work delays around the area. And on 359 southbound at 35th Street, you do have a fender bender. And that's causing you only minimal delays right now. Now, definitely thickening up on Lurleen Wallace, specifically on the southbound lanes. I'm seeing that between 5th and University.
Sure that we give that to them each and every time they come and visit us.
The sense of pride that we have in the quality, the consistency of our food carries over to everything we do in the stores. That's Taco Gossip.
Crimson Tide today, presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by DCH Regional Medical Center. Online at DCHSystem.com.
From the University of Alabama, this is Crimson Tide Today. It's a daily update on Bama sports and it's brought to you by Kaneka Sausage, a true Southern flavor since 1947 and the official smoked sausage of the Crimson Tide. Order online at KanekaSausage.com. Hello again, everybody. I'm Roger Hoover. Here are thoughts from Alabama women's basketball head coach Christy Curry as Alabama prepares for Samford on Wednesday night. Yeah, looking at the Samford Bulldogs, tonight's opponent, where do they present some challenges and some of the talented personnel they have?
Well, they're just well coached. I mean, Matt does a great job of running a lot of different set plays. They're going to really challenge and go at our weaknesses. So it will challenge each player defensively, you know, to guard their yard and understand. Otherwise, they're going to make you look bad. So, I mean, I think it'll be a great opportunity for us to understand he's going to do a really good job with that. And then they run multiple ball screen actions. So our communication loud early and often and how we guard the ball screen with great effort and energy are going to be really critical to our success.
I'll have more in a moment.
Favorite jeans, favorite shirt. Got Kaneka sausage and I'm firing it up. Yeah, everybody knows it's how I get my grill on. You can smell that flavor up and down the road. It's a little taste of heaven and everybody knows. I get my grill on. neck of sausage. It's just a little taste of heaven.
Join us tonight for Hey Coach and the Kalen DeBoer Show, presented by Alpha Insurance, live from Baumhauer's Victory Grill in Tuscaloosa, starting at 6 p.m. Central. You can listen to Hey Coach on the full radio network, the Varsity Network app, as well as watch the video stream on all Alabama Athletics social media platforms. Crimson Tide Today is brought to you by Kaneka Sausage. Crimson Tide Today is a production of the Crimson Tide Sports Network from Learfield.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A warm November day. The sky partially sunny. The high today around 80. For tonight, fair with the low at 59. Tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny. The high 81. Friday, cloudy with a good chance of rain at times. The high 75. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 67 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Inside the locker room, get right to the Yellowwood Hotline. He's ESPN 106.7, The Drive, down in Auburn, open like a Monday through Friday, 4 to 6. Joins us every Wednesday to talk all SEC and Auburn Tigers, Bill Cameron. Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Hey, Bill.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you guys?
Okay. Of the four so-called coaches that are in the lead for the Auburn job, I don't know if that's correct or not. I think probably it is. Do you have any feel? I think your defense coordinator, who's maybe at the top of the list, has not done very well really when he had a head coaching position in the past for a limited amount of time. Any thoughts on that at all for our listeners?
I don't know that you could completely hold D.J. Durkin's record at Maryland when he was 39. And, Maryland was really going, not like they've, you know, yeah, really okay. Turned it around. They're great, but they were struggling a good bit back then. I think he was still learning what he's doing. And I don't think that's going to be held against him. It's going to be interesting to see. I thought it was a good answer he gave the other day when he was asked about being interviewed. He said he feels like, you know, every day is an interview for him right now.
You
feel like any one of these four has the lead? Do you say DJ would have the lead right now, you would think?
I don't know. Okay. I mean, it sure feels like, you know, that John Cohen would like DJ Durkin to still be at Auburn, but it feels like, you know, he's got to know that he would be better as a head coach than a defensive coordinator. I know that there's no question that John would like to have DJ here. Well, I tell you what, Wimp, I was going to ask you. I mean, I've heard that you don't think John Sumrall is going to be the guy, because that's interesting, because he's been probably the most constant name throughout the entire process.
Well, I don't know that for sure. When I ask a question to a person, they told me no. That's been some time ago, not some time ago, but a couple of weeks ago, I guess.
Uh-huh.
And they told me no, he was not. I don't know if that's, the winning at Troy could have helped him. There may be some degree that the winning at Troy may have hurt him. Relationship with people, I don't know that. I don't know anything. But that's the rumor that I had gotten. And I could be dead wrong on that.
You know, it's interesting because, I mean, I have not talked to anybody. I've never met John, and haven't had any dealings with him, but I know a lot of people that have. And I have not talked to anybody who doesn't really think the world of him and think that he is he's going to be a really good head coach.
Okay. I may be dead wrong.
Go ahead.
The decision with Ashton Daniels, I think, was the right one. Especially in the NIL era, you get a whole another year of college and you're a quarterback. I don't know that necessarily means he'll come back to Auburn. I guess that'll be up for the new coach to decide. But retaining his eligibility with the rules, like, I don't like the rule personally, but I just think you should get 5 years. You got 5 years, and if you get hurt, yep. You got 5 years. But it really was a no-brainer, right, Bill, as far as for the kid and the kid have another opportunity to play college football for another year.
Yeah, I agree. I think it absolutely was the right decision. And, we'll never know what if this had been, I mean, and not that you could look past Mercer. They're a very good FCS team. But if this had been a conference game with DJ Durkin wanting to be the next head coach, how much more difficult that decision would have been. But no, DJ, I think DJ really wanted to do the best thing for Ashton Daniels. And it's also an interesting opportunity. I mean, we've only seen Deuce Knight very briefly in one ball game. He was the first quarterback out yesterday with the ones, as he and Jackson Arnold were splitting time there with the ones. So it'll give you an opportunity to see a little bit more of Deuce Knight. But I think that's really good for Ashton, especially as well as he played in the Vandy game, to allow him to have an extra year. And I would think that probably doesn't hurt Auburn's chances of being able to get him back, you know, depending on who the coach is next year.
You know, Alabama losing to Oklahoma gives Auburn a great opportunity to ruin Alabama's season. I think if they'd have beat Oklahoma, they probably would have been in the playoff regardless, because they'd have been, ranked five. You don't go from five down to the playoff. So that it's always a tough ticket at the Iron Bowl, but that makes it even tougher being a night game now. That place is going to be in a frenzy down there. I'm afraid Alabama's going to be tight, Bill, and Auburn's going to be loose. What's your early thoughts on this Iron Bowl?
Oh, I don't know about Alabama being tight, but I do think that, Auburn will be pretty loose for the ball game. I guess as loose as you can be in one of those games like that. But there's no question that it's an opportunity for if Auburn goes ahead and takes care of Mercer, they can get bowl eligible. That's nothing to have a huge celebration about or anything. But at the same time, effectively, I mean, in all effects, it's hard for me to see how Alabama's going to be able to make the playoff with so many teams looking like they're going to finish with two losses if Auburn's able to beat them. And I think it's also interesting, we learned that Auburn's doing Senior Day this Saturday. They're not going to do that on the Iron Bowl. They're going to recognize prior teams, the ones that they have had unbeaten teams that they have claimed national championships for this Saturday and not Saturday. I think to try to limit the distractions for the Iron Bowl game on next Saturday night.
Yeah.
In this selection process, I've tried to get a hold of John, our friend, and I'm
actually, he's a little tougher right now.
Yeah, I
know. I understand. I understand. I would not that he's supposed to talk to me. There's not no reason for that. But he has made the statement that he's going to select a person after the Iron Bowl. I'm just wondering how the selection process is taking place. He's got two fractions there. So go ahead. I'm sorry. Just answer that.
Well, one thing that's really different than the way the searches used to be is now the ADs will admit that they're talking to candidates. I mean, before you couldn't really do that, or you weren't supposed to be doing that. And there have been, there have been multiple opportunities. I would say he's talked to his top candidates multiple times through this process now. So they're going to be able to have everything, or at least the plan is to try to have everything lined up and have your I's dotted, your T's crossed, have all that ready so that as soon as possible after the Iron Bowl and I would think after the coach's last game, that you can go ahead and make that announcement as soon as possible. Now, it's going to be really interesting after you know, seeing the rankings last night, Tulane right now penciled in as the number 12 team. If it is John Sumrall, I mean, you got another situation like the one that everybody's been talking about Lane. What do you do when you have a coach whose team, you know, is still alive in the playoffs? I don't know that you will be able to have that coach. Should that coach be expected to leave his team while they're trying to make a playoff run? But I think that's the plan now, though, is to go ahead and have everything as ready as possible. And then I wouldn't be surprised if, by the Monday after the Iron Bowl, if things work out like that Auburn would have another coach.
Talk with Bill Cameron, ESPN 106.7, The Drive. Bill, and I know you learn as you go, Stephen Pearl's got to tone it down a little bit now. He's coached in like five games. He's broken two tables, kicking these Decatronic tables. Those things are expensive. He's chasing the ref up in his face in the Houston game. I mean, I understand passion. I get all that. But breaking tables and chasing the officials after the game, to me, it's a bad look. I think he's got to tone it down some. Your thoughts?
He is a young coach in his first year, and he is pretty fiery. I'm sure, you know, Dad will probably say something to him about that if he feels like it's getting a little too out of control. But tell you what, his players love his fire, and I was pretty darn impressed with the effort they gave against Houston. I thought that's a physical team that usually makes it really tough and turns the ball over a lot. So, I would imagine that things will chill a little bit. But I mean, look, he's in his, you know, he's been coaching for five games as a head coach. I think right now his team and Auburn folks like the fire that he's showing.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is a very good question because it's pretty hard to answer. Is the staff concerned about who they're hiring? If they're going to have the lead way, the new head coach, because the assistant coaches do the coaching.
As a matter of fact.
They're going to have the lead way to get who they want with the whole staff.
I think so. I mean, you know, there's. I hope so. I mean, if John is indeed. I mean, John says, you know, he's the search committee, and I would hope that, you know, he looks at his head coach sort of in the same situation that he's the head coach and he should be able to make it. Now, obviously, you can let prospective candidates know that you'd like them to consider, folks like DJ Durkin or anybody else on that staff. But yeah, I think it should be up to the head coach to bring his staff in. It's interesting. We've talked to Don Dunn is on the show quite a bit, becoming a regular on the show. And he's talked about that from the perspective of being involved with staffs that are either let go or know they're going somewhere else. So, yeah, it's a tough situation there for the assistant coaches, no question about it.
Hugh left there with $15 million in his pocket.
Something around that. I think he's in pretty good shape. He won't have to worry about paying the bills for a little while.
Other than recruiting, I think he did a good job recruiting. Everything else, I thought Hugh Freeze was a complete failure. How he handled the media, play calling. Talk about three guys calling plays, blaming player. I think he recruited well, but the other areas, Bill, were, in my opinion, a huge disappointment.
I would say, yeah, at times he sure didn't say the things, the kinds of things that lend to understanding what the heck's going on or if he knows what's going on. But, I mean, as far – I would say – bringing in not just players, but I think the rest of the organization and everything is in place. I think he did a good job of getting things set up, but then I think the on field, the preparation and then on field, or the disconnect between the preparation and the on field and then his either lack of understanding or lack of ability to explain what was going on, yeah, left a lot to be desired.
Yeah. Is it just, does John Cohen, I guess he meets with the team and whenever he hires the new guy and says, look, give him a chance. Let him sit down and meet with each one of you guys individually. Don't make a rash decision now. Get to know him a little bit. Then if you want to transfer, obviously you can transfer. That's a better situation. But they got to give this guy a chance when they get there because they got some pretty dynamic players they need to try to hold on to, don't they, Bill?
Oh yeah, that's going to be the most critical part of the, you know, the next few weeks as Auburn gets closer to naming the next head coach. And I know that John Cohen has already spoken with the team about, you know, I guess just the generalities and things about the search. But yes, since the players can enter the transfer portal 5 days after the next head coach is announced, that's going to be critical. If, you know, whoever the head coach is going to have those 5 days to try to get with the players and sell him to them and his plan to them and try to keep them. I know Auburn feels like they have the resources to be able to, to compete and keep those players financially, but it's a lot more than that as well. They've got to know, you know, they've got to feel like it's going to be the best thing for them. So that's going to be the first big job, I would think, for the next head coach is selling himself and his, you know, his plan to the current players.
This question is for both of you guys. Don't you think in this situation, if it's not DJ Durkin, that who are they bringing? You got to retain a couple of guys that are there now. They know the players and how good they are, and they could probably help you keep them. I think if you cut everybody loose, you don't know who to really keep because you haven't been coaching these guys all year. I think keeping a few of these guys is almost a must, right? That really knows the situation there, knows how good, and knows this guy's 1 year away, man. He's going to be all SEC. This guy, we overpaid for him. You got to have somebody there to help you through this, don't you, Bill and Dad, if you're the new coach?
Yeah, that's a matter of fact. Sure. We talked about that exact situation just a couple of days ago that, because a couple of callers were wondering about that, that if you don't keep anybody, how do they know? I mean, you can't. I know that any prospective candidate right now has got to be, looking at the roster and trying to determine if they get the job, who they'd like to keep. But you better have somebody that has been around those players and knows what to expect. So, yeah, I mean, I guess it doesn't necessarily have to be an on-field coach, but there'd better be somebody or some, you know, multiple people that you could really count on that know this roster when you try to go out there and convince those players to stick around.
Yeah, I mean, especially with the portal, though, you know, in the old days when they had to sit out a year, it wasn't as important. Yeah. But now,
things are real funny for me today, but this is the kind of unique. It's a little bit too personal, I guess, but when I got the job, I had been so nice to all the mothers of all the great players that we had on the team, and to the kids too, and they all liked me a great deal. They didn't come running and hugging me when I got the job, but they liked me. About 5 or 10 days after that, they were meeting trying to see how they could fire me.
a little different as the system.
They said, where did this guy's personality change? Because we started matching them from day one, and Mike Davis told me one time, he said, we five of us met in the little gym, so great day in the morning. Why did we? That kind of goes along a little bit different than that. But
yeah, I mean, if I was on Auburn staff, Bill, I would be getting buddy-buddy with all those receivers and then say, hey, if you keep me, I can keep them all here. I just need another $100,000. I mean, if you have ties to those receivers, then you got some value. You talk about creating value for yourself, as Nick Saban say, that would create some value for yourself if you had a good enough relationship where they would stay because of you, right?
That makes a lot of sense. there's going to be a quiet investment in those young men.
Mine stays great, y'all.
Yeah.
So,
all right, Bill, tell everybody where they can find you.
Yep, it's The Drive every afternoon, 4 to 6 on ESPN 106.7. You can check us online at ESPNAU.com or go to RadioAlabama.net. If you can't catch us live, download the podcast wherever you get your podcast.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, guys, have a great week.
All right, before we get to break, let's tell them about Bryant Bank, then we'll get back and have the vinegar tip for this Wednesday.
Bryant Bank, outstanding bank. They'll know you the second time you're in there. If they don't know you the first time, they'll do everything they possibly can to please you. You have an opportunity to have a, you know, personal and business account. Bank online around the clock. Knows your banking and your money is safe. Good people at Bryant Bank. They live there close to where I live, and I see them quite often. So go by Bryant Bank and tell me you heard it inside the locker room.
All right, we'll take this break. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC is the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Looking at a crash now on Culver Road. And this is as you move on the southbound lane to 31st. Watch out for that. It's got traffic a little on the slower side. And you try to make your way around it. And in the meantime, we are not doing too shabby on 69, both north and southbound onto Skyland Boulevard. Regular stoplight delays for you there. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, I'm Tammy Thomas.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance.
To start your language learning adventure, this offer ends November 20th. Get Babbel's lifetime access for less for a limited time at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com.
Today with the Crimson Tide,
local high school sports and Bama in the pros right here
on Tide 100.9.
Wow, I feel good.
Inside the locker room, right? The vinegar tip brought to you by Michael McGuire, State Farm Insurance. Give Michael and his crew a call. They'll set you right up.
205-752-8500. I ate some pasta, which is, I'm trying to watch it about my weight, but I put some honey on it, and I got it on my britches yesterday, and my britches were brand new. I went in and scrubbed. I went in the restroom and scrubbed some soap on it and got rid of them. Got rid of it. If you get mustard stains, something similar to that on your pants or wherever, you got to put vinegar on them. You got to dab a little bit, and then before you wash them, put vinegar on that mustard to get rid of it. Grass stains, which kids get a lot of times, your kids get grass stains. They want you to put water and white vinegar and liquid soap. If you do those three things, and for the you mothers who get a lot of that, there are some stains, and they don't say what they are, that can be cleaned away with parts of milk and vinegar. So those, you know, we talked about the socks, which was, I've got more ads on that thing than anything, on dishcloths and socks about a cup of vinegar and you know, rolling a cup of vinegar over that with water. So those are some of the things that I think are good. Spaghetti and barbecue or ketchup stains. First use vinegar and then put the water solution after you put that vinegar on there. I think that will do the trick for you, because we got a lot of people who try to, a lot of kids, a lot of mothers who try to get stains out of their clothes of the kids, and these are three things I think important. They're not real, you know, great to talk about, and people don't, you know, I guess don't talk about them much, but they are, that is important. So that's the negatives for today.
All right, that brought to you by Michael McGuire, State Farm Insurance. Give Michael and his staff a call, 205-752-8500. Michael McGuire for all your insurance needs. All right.
I don't think Auburn people realize. I don't know this. This is a important hire for Auburn.
You think?
Actually, I can't bring. Well, this is Alabama is shaky. I think the guy Alabama's fine. But anybody that comes into Alabama after coach is shaky. They just are. It don't make any difference who it is. They're shaky. And that they're not going to fire him. And Roland did a good job. But, you know, it's a little bit of a shaky situation because they could stay out of the playoffs if things went wrong. But Auburn to me, big name candidates are not out there. I mean, big names that you just can't miss these guys because of the past. They're not there. Maybe the kid at Tulane, the young man at Tulane is, he's been at Tulane and Troy, that's enough build up there to get him. And I could be wrong about it being him. There's just not that many. Did the guy at Penn State going to Virginia Tech lose the games himself? The big games that everybody talks about, the team lost them, the staff lost them, the players lost them. But you know, he got his buyout reduced. And got out of there to a Virginia Tech situation where you can win that league. Probably, I don't know that. I don't even want to comment on that or not. But this is pretty big for Auburn.
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, they had so many losing seasons down there, so I think it's a huge deal for those guys. And we'll see if they make the right decision. I don't think there's any clear-cut guy that's a definite hire there. I think it's a gamble either way. I think Lane Kiffin's a gamble if you're one of these. I mean, I don't like when people say, well, he hadn't won a national championship. Well, guys, how many guys out there, that doesn't mean anything. How many guys out there hadn't won a champion? You're at Ole Miss. Like, he's done a great job at Ole Miss. But when you say, well, he didn't win any champ. What's you ever won? I mean, that's the stupidest argument I've ever heard. Only one guy it's winning the national championship. There's not that many national championship coaches out there. So
I'll tell you something else, too, regardless of what you think. Mississippi State will score some points against them. Mississippi State scores points against everybody. I don't know if Mississippi State will beat them, but Mississippi State's down. Mississippi State ain't going to get shut out.
Yeah.
So.
Then they'll be blaming – you know, that he wasn't focused. He's put himself in a tough spot there. I think he's going to come out and say he's staying and sign a new deal right before the Egg Bowl is what I think, but I could be wrong. All right, we'll take this last break. Up at the phone lines, 205-342-9904. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM, WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center, looking at a crash now on Culver Road. And this is as you move on the southbound lanes at 31st. Watch out for that. It's got traffic a little on the slower side. I just try to make your way around it. And in the meantime, we're
customized radio and digital marketing plans to help grow your business. Hit me up at wyatt.fulton@townsquaremedia.com, and I can tell you more, and let's help your business score big.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance.
Higher price $200 reflects comparable national brand. $75 and a faux fur jacket reg, $108. Valid through 12/24. See store or jcp.com for details.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A warm November day. The sky partially sunny. The high today around 80. For tonight, fair with the low at 59. Tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny. The high 81. Friday, cloudy with a good chance of rain at times. The high 75. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 67 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Two-time state champion and two-time NIT champion, Barry Sanderson breaks down the latest in sports on Inside the Locker Room on Tide 100.9.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker Room. Chase, when you open up that oven and you reach in there to pull that blue plate out, you better have on a mitt. It's hot. That thing's hot. So we'll find out the next couple of days. You've been studying for the blue plate this week. Two in a row. You got to use a mitt, Chase.
Yeah. Hey, did y'all play well last night?
I had to end up zoning a lot. We were playing over Mississippi, and they were real physical, so we just, so we went zone. So my kid from Coach Fleming's son, he had a kid from Germany. He had four fouls before they sang the national anthem, so he got to sit over there by me a lot. And some of them were his fault.
Good
player. Yeah, he's a good player, but he was in foul trouble last night, so we had to go and knock the dust off our 2-3 zone, and we ended up playing better in the second half. All right. No, we don't play tonight. We're like an NBA schedule. We got a game tomorrow and then Saturday and then Monday and then Tuesday. And then
you got a game today?
Not tonight. Tomorrow at Hale County. They got that kid going to Oklahoma. If you want to go out there and watch him. Need precision power performance. Brian Hard Construction has been delivering top quality steel fabrication, welding, and 24/7 crane rentals for over 30 years. Family owned, woman led, safety driven. 205-759-1337. I know they're carrying on the great Brian Harden Construction and taking care of everything the way Brian would want it taken care of. And so we appreciate those guys being a sponsor on Inside the Locker Room. Yeah. So it's about, I don't know, 30 minutes probably. So tomorrow, probably around 7:30. Be crowd packed in there tomorrow, probably. All right, you also got the Turkey Bowl tomorrow, which is Verner versus Rock Quarry in flag football. So that's a big deal. They had a big Turkey Bowl, so Mac will be in the Turkey Bowl. So anyway. All right, the Gary Harris Show is next, so keep it locked in. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports. Have a great day, everybody.